For you have not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But to?
Man. Amen.
To you, brother.
Yes.
To all of us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It's not a small thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. That's why we need to take heed to his speaking. Can you imagine if you missed it? There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Right?
Yeah.
We don't need any message on this. Just reading it is good enough, isn't it? Rebecca? Do you need any interpretation? You see? That's why I'm just standing here, helpless. So who are the Hebrews here that the word is written to? To Americans? To Canadians? To Korean? To German? Yeah? So, we can just close the book and go home. Have you ever thought you are a Hebrew? No? Or are you Canadian? Or maybe Chinese? Are we Hebrews? A genuine one? Come on, you don't look like one. I don't see a big nose. But we are the real Hebrews today. Not the one who brews coffee at home. Definitely not. The name Hebrews means what? A river crosser. Have you crossed the river? The Red Sea? Have you crossed the Red Sea? Yeah. When have you crossed the Red Sea? Yeah. How do you prove that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you. Right? Our living concordance is that. Right. Baptism is equals to crossing the river, like Moses leading the people out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea to the other side. Are you on the right side or the wrong side? If you're still on the side and not crossing the Red Sea, Pharaoh is going to catch up with you and bring you back to Egypt. So have you crossed the river? Come on. Have you ever thought about you crossing the river before today? Suppose the Jews did not cross the river and stayed on the same side there, and the army of Pharaoh came and took over them. Brought them back a slave to Egypt, right? So, but how are you going to cross that Red Sea? The Lord parted the Red Sea. And they all crossed over. And what happened to Pharaoh and his army? They came after them, going through, but they didn't come out from the other side. They were all buried. The Red Sea, the bottom of the Red Sea, became their grave. Is that the only river they crossed? Before entering into the good land, they just enter in? No, what happened? They crossed the River Jordan. What? Only one time through the Red Sea, not good enough? So who was buried in the Red Sea? The Jews? Pharaoh, the world, Egypt. The army was buried there. But then who was buried in Jordan? What did God tell Moses to do? The first 12 stones, just to carry over to the other side. You have to bury the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel and leave it in the middle of Jordan to be buried there. And from Jordan, they should carry another 12 stone to the other side. So the word Hebrews means river crossers. So are you a Hebrew? Are we the river crossers? Buried with Christ, is that all? And raised with him too. Don't just be buried there and not risen with him. You must always go to the other side. So let's sing a song, 477. On the way here in the car, I asked the Lord which song to sing. So the Lord selected 477. Let us sing that song, That's why I didn't call that song before this word. Clear? Amen. Sophia, what are you? Wonderful. Wonderful. That's why you have to read the Hebrews 100 times, the book. The next 3 months. Because it's written for you, for all of us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Right, Rebecca? What are you? A Hebrew. The real one. The real Hebrew. We all have crossed the Red Sea, the River of Jordan. And every time we enter into the holy place and holy of holies, we had to pass through the sea of glass there, so to speak. Ah, Lord Jesus. So the Word of God is just wonderful, just right for us. This morning we heard God is a speaking God. And our brother was right. If it is God speaking, how dare we not to hear him? If your boss is speaking to you, You just tell him, shut up. Leave me alone. Don't bother me, I'm doing my job here. And you like to say that to your boss? What do you think your boss will say? Wow, he's a hard-working man. Somebody always has that famous word, you are fired. You're right. When God speaks, we better take earnest heed. And if we don't, there will be a recompense. Judgment. Yeah. It's very serious. It is not just a message that we are talking about here. The Hebrews tells us, no, there's a consequence. We think, okay, I've read the Bible and close it and that's it. I wish it was that simple. And even we begin to teach others. And demand from them that they should hear you. Who are you? Who are we? We should learn to listen to God. Right? So, it's very serious. Our God is truly a speaking God. How often He spoke to you? I don't mean reading the Bible. Right? It's so easy to read the Bible. All the Christians, they read the Bible, they read the Bible. But to read the Bible is one thing. To hear Him is another thing. God is a speaking God. Beginning in the Garden of Eden. God spoke. Adam, where are you? Vince, where are you? Timo, where are you? You're playing hide and seek with God, doing your own thing. You're so involved in your own thing that God would call you, Vince, where are you? Have you ever heard that? You see, he dared not to say yes. Because we haven't heard him calling you. You're so busy doing this and doing that and get involved in so many things. You don't hear anything from God. Our God is a speaking God. Yeah. Can you imagine Enoch walking with God and God didn't say a word to him? Do you speak to your wife at home? Once a month? Huh? No. How about you? Do you speak to your husband?
Too much.
Too much. Now, this wonderful Christ, the living God, He's not just the Son of Man in chapter 1. He's the Son of God. He's indwelling in you and doesn't speak to you. Isn't it strange? Vince? You speak to Ethan every day?
Yeah.
To your children too? Many times a day, especially if you're at home. And God dwelling in you doesn't speak to you. Well, I'm not saying whether it makes sense or not. Does he speak to you? Do you hear him? Do you hear him speaking to you? Stop. Don't do that. Or do this. You know, even choosing this song, it was in a car, my wife can testify. I was asking God, what song should we sing tonight? Right? And you were asking which song to play, right, Sarah? So I said, just wait. Just wait. Even the right time to sing the song. I have to ask him what time. Our God is a speaking God. That's what it's written there, but not only so, but if he's a living God, if he's a living God, he speaks. The whole Bible shows that he is speaking to us. He wants us to know. Right. Did Abraham have a Bible like you? How can he know God? Vince? Who initiated the speaking? God. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. If he did that to Abraham, how come he doesn't speak to you so clearly? Have you ever asked him, Lord, I want you to appear to me. Speak to me like you did to our father Abraham. So you don't know, you have to ask some brothers, you have to ask some pastors. Because the living God is not speaking to you. What about to Moses? And what about to Noah? Who initiated? Yeah. Otherwise, how would Noah know what to do? Dealing with the giants, with the Nephilims. What do you think Noah would do? He's asking God, what are these giants doing here? What are you going to do? Right. So God gave him the solution. Even in small details, how to build the ark. You think he got the idea by himself? Hmm?
Even the exact measurements were spoken by God.
Yeah, not only the measurement, the materials, and how to build it, and how many layers, how many stories. You cannot imagine how large that ark is. That can host all kinds of animals there in pairs. And then you have to have a storeroom to feed the animals. You need probably 100 times of your apartment, or I mean your house. It's not simple, but God spoke to him. Very clearly. To Moses, not just one time, but many, many times. Moses didn't have a Bible to read, no instruction book. God says, here, resist.
Huh?
Use the outline. No, our God is a speaking God. Don't you want to hear him speak to you? Huh? You and Peter, you speak to each other, Peter? Huh? Really? Only if you're angry with her, you just, 1 week, no speaking. No, it's not like that. Our God is a speaking God. You should desire to hear him. Yeah. Right, all the way. Moses, not just once, but many, many times. God spoke to him. God shows them what to do. It's really amazing. Yeah, even Joshua. Right. Our God is a speaking God. We need to realize, right? Don't just have a Bible and that's it. No, you spend time speaking to him. And let him speak to you. And I really meant it. I can testify in my life the Lord spoke to me. He truly is a speaking God. Yeah. I didn't just decide by myself, I'm going to quit to this and I'm going to serve God. I'm not that good. Yeah. But God spoke. Yeah. Amen. When he speaks, it works. Okay, then I ask him, what do you want me to do then? How am I going to serve you? And he told me where to go. But I said, where is that place? Where is that person that you want me to see? I don't know where he is. So I told him, if you want to me to know where he is, so you need to tell me. Who else is going to tell me? And the following day, I received a letter from an older sister. And the Lord appeared to that older sister and says, write to that man, the young man, somewhere in Europe. And the letter she wrote, she got a burden from the Lord to write me, although she never saw me, and I never knew her. But she got my address from the church where I, a couple of years ago, bought some books. And that's where she got my address. And in that letter she wrote me, the Lord told her to write me. I said, who is she? And where this man is? Our God is a living God. God is a living God. He speaks. He speaks. He's a speaking God. We need to know. Right? So many little things. Yeah. I think I told you concerning the incident. I went to the Philippines one time when there was a flooding, such a rain, flooding. Yeah. And all the trash was thrown in the street, can you imagine? And then the flood came, and it's going to bring the not just the water, but all those terrible garbage thrown on to the street. I told the Lord, hey, we are your people living in this house. What are you going to do? And really, the Lord told me, the water is not going to come into this house. Yeah, because I told the Lord. And it was raining hard when the water is coming up. And in that home, I stayed with my brother, and there was once a flood that came at least 1 meter plus high in the first floor of the house. And so they were expecting that to happen again. I told them, no, it's not going to happen. How do you know? Well, I said, the Lord told me it's not going to happen. Right? I called Mary on the phone. You remember? I told my wife, well, it's raining and flooding, but the Lord told me it's not going to come into the house. Right? You remember that? My wife is the witness. And the rain was so hard, and it came up to the threshold of the stairs right there. And the rain stopped. Because the children, right? My brother had 6 children, and they were already scared. Ah, we have to move the things up to the second floor. I said, stop, don't worry. It will not come in. And sure enough, the Lord waited until the water come right there to the rim, and not one drop came in, and it stopped. The children were surprised. What? The Lord really answered your prayers. I said, not only mine, but yours. He will answer your prayer. Yeah. If God didn't speak, where would I get the faith that the water is not going to come in? God spoke. He's a speaking God. I want to hear him speak. There are many incidents. In not just spiritual things, but very practical things. Simple thing, like I'm just looking for something which I didn't know what it was. And it was in a very impossible place for me to find it. But the Lord showed me where it was. No, it's nothing spiritual. God is the speaking God. is the living God. It's not only about spiritual matters. But of course, also about spiritual matters, every matter. And look, in the Old Testament times, God spoke to the prophets in details, telling them what's going to happen. They didn't just dreamed it. God revealed it to them in very clear details, even. Look at the book of Daniel. How did Daniel know so many things? He didn't make it up. How did he know Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Even the dreamer didn't know what he dreamt, he forgot. Do you remember every dream that you dream when you get up? No. Nebuchadnezzar forgot everything. But he just knew it's something very strange, very important. So he told all of those guys to come to interpret his dreams. Then they said, okay, tell us the dream. He said, no, you have to know. What kind of unreasonable thing is that you ask those wise men to come to interpret your dream and you don't tell them what a dream was? How did Daniel know? Well, did Daniel have a special hidden book? Quick, look. Hocus pocus. No, he didn't. The God who knows all things, even before it happened, told him. Told him the dream and the meaning of the dream. Nebuchadnezzar was so surprised. And he realized, wow, the God of Daniel is a real God, the living God. It's truly amazing. We have such a wonderful God, not an idol. Not even AI could tell you that. You're going to trust in AI? God is not an AI. God is the I am that I am. Is I am, not AI. Right. He knows the future from the past. He even knows all of us sitting here. We were chosen when?
For the foundation of the world.
How is that possible? So he even knew Isaac before he was born. We have a wonderful God. Right. A God who speaks. All the prophets, look at Isaiah. He talked about King Cyrus at least about 120 some years before he was born. God already knew there's going to be a King Cyrus, and God already knew what King Cyrus was going to do. Do you? Can you know that? No. So don't just read the Bible. We have to know this living God. Don't do anything foolish without asking God what to do. Many times we in the church life, we do a lot of foolish things, deciding things ourselves and not asking God what to do. Remember, it is His kingdom. It is Zion. It is His church. And He's the King, right? What is Zion? The city of the great King, right? But do you know Him? Just doctrinally, He's a great King, but you don't ask Him what to do. And you acted like you're the King. And not afraid of offending Him. So when we read, God is a speaking God, just knowing it because it's written is not enough. You need to experience His speaking. Yeah. If not, we will be speaking a lot of nonsense. Idle words. Yeah. Yeah. So Hebrews chapter 1 is a warning to all of us. Our God is a speaking God. And if He is such a speaking God, it depends on you. Do you desire to hear Him, Peter? And to do what He tells you to do. To be obedient to Him. Asking Him. Having a desire. Look at the Lord when He was on this earth. He never did anything that is not from the Father. He even said, words that I have spoken to you, they are not my words. It is the Father. I only speak what I heard from Him. Yeah. Right. It's such a living God. It's not even understanding the Bible. Well, we all got a good mind. All the theologians have a lot to say about the Bible. But nobody listens to God. Yeah. At the end, we even end up replacing Him. So you can see God really is a speaking God. That's the first sentence in the book of Hebrews. So are you a Hebrew? You understand Hebrew? It's a heavenly language. Yeah. It is God speaking. So may the Lord open our eyes to see that without His speaking, then what are we going to do? We do a lot of things just by ourselves. And that's a big problem because we thought we're doing what He wants. But it's not because we'd never heard from Him what to do. So the book of Hebrews is encouraging all of us every one of us to learn to hear him. Right? He made us. Look how much we speak to each other. And how many words we have spoken without meaning and just blah, blah, blah. That's why it's, it says blah, blah, blah. Right? What does it mean, blah, blah, blah? Babbling. Babbling is still not so serious. It's idle words. Is our own speaking. Right. So look at even the last book of Revelation. John was alone there. But was he alone? God appeared to him and spoke to him, whispering. John, hey, John. His voice was what? Like a trumpet. Yeah. Like a trumpet. God wants to make sure that he's not sleeping, and if he's sleeping, he'll jump up and listen carefully to what he says, because God has so many things to show him. God didn't just ask the angel Gabriel to write a book and then throw it to John. Here, John, read it. A speaking God from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation at the very end. He spoke. And I hope that through this book of Hebrews we all learn to be one who listens to him. A desire to hear him. That will save us a lot of trouble. Otherwise, we'll have a lot of trouble. We'll be going around and around for 40 years, going nowhere, just like the Jews. Going around and round and round, merry-go-round. Looks like you're riding on horses, but it's going around and around. This thing moves. May the Lord speak.
Amen.
Yeah. Many years ago when I was in L.A., and of course we're talking about the human spirit. And there was a serious word at that time. We have a spirit. Right? There was at that time, during those years, the emphasis, we not only have a body, a soul, but we have a human spirit. So after that meeting, I went for a walk and a talk. You know, with whom? I told the Lord, Lord, I have a mind and I know how to use it. I can think. I have a will. I can make decision. But now I have a spirit. Now you have to teach me how I can use my spirit. I don't just want to know that I have a human spirit. What for? You know how to use your mind, Vince? At work? Oh, yeah. A good mind, right? Yeah, of course. Otherwise, you won't have a good job. Hard working too, right? Yeah. Right. But we have a spirit. So I don't just want to know I have a human spirit. I want to know how to use it. How does it work? How is it going to change my life? Not just drawing three circles, body, soul, and spirit, and that's it. We have a spirit, but how to use it? How does it operate? So I told the Lord, I want to experience it. You have to teach me. You have to show me. And the Lord did. Just a very simple example. We were driving in a freeway, and I missed the exit. I didn't know it. The Lord told me, you missed the exit. I didn't believe it. No. I'm going the right direction. The Lord said again, you missed the exit. Get out. I kept on driving until I saw a sign. Oh, where am I right now? So I quickly turned around and went back. Yeah, it's not my mind. But a spirit, even a spirit tells me that I'm in a wrong direction. It's not very spiritual, okay? You think the spirit indwelling in me, my human spirit, is very super spiritual. No, I'm driving a car. It doesn't need to be spiritual driving a car. So I have to turn around. A lot of things. My spirit, indwelled by the Lord. We are one spirit with the Lord. The Lord will tell me, will tell you and all of us many things that is wrong, that is not right. Even before it happens. Right. Our God is living. We need to experience the living God. And a living God is a speaking God. Yeah. Not just in spiritual things. I didn't prepare anything tonight to talk on fellowship with you. No. One time I was in Toronto. I'm just giving you at random quite a few examples. And I have a nephew there who likes to play with the cars and, you know, with his friend there. And they are going to join a little car race. It's a toy car. And somehow they were fixing the car and trying to buy a part. And it dropped somewhere and they couldn't find it. So my sister and I in Toronto, and we were there just coming home somewhere and saw the two boys there looking in the lawn, almost as big as this room here, the space. I said, what are you doing there? He said, well, we're looking for a small, tiny part. I said, just like a fish in the ocean. And they're looking it for hours already. So my sister and I said, okay, we'll help you look, but where are you going to look? And I don't even know what we're looking for. So after an hour of looking almost every square meter, looking, and four of us looking, nothing. We gave up. It's dark, getting dark. So let's go back to the house. Forget it. So we enter into the house. We're just walking the way to the house. And I was the last one to enter in. And before the door, there was a mat, you know, with rubber like this, and holes in the rubber. The Lord told me, stop. Open up that mat. Open up that mat. What for? But I have to obey, right? The Lord told me so clearly. How can I say, no, forget about it? And when I stooped down and opened it up, there was that little thing there. I said, Abraham, is that what you're looking for? And he came and said, oh yeah, that's what I was looking for. How did you know it was there? I didn't know, but somebody did. You know, when looking in the lawn, the grass, I was praying, I said, Lord, show me where it is for the sake of this young man so that he'll believe in you. But we didn't find it, so not in that lawn. But right there, who would have known that that thing, he dropped it right there, you think? He told me, you must have prayed, right? I told him, yes. But you should have prayed too. Then the Lord would have told you. But such a little thing, even such a little thing, I don't know where it was, but somebody knew. God knows everything. And even for the sake of this young boy, at that time. It's not for my sake, it's not for the sake of just looking and find that little piece, but I said for the sake of this young boy, a young man. So God is a speaking God. Don't just read, oh, yeah, God spoke in time past through the prophets, and today he spoke by and through his Son to us. Now how come we don't experience his speaking? Right. If just little things like that God would even talk to you, how much more spiritual matters, matters concerning his plan, his divine purpose, matters concerning our goal, matters concerning what to do today to reach the goal. You want to reach the goal, did you? We all want to make it to the kingdom. We all want to be the first fruits, right, John Young?
Yes.
Yeah, I know, especially this brother, he desires to be the first fruits. He's talking about it all the time. But you know, let the Lord teach you how to be the first fruits. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be, but without you teaching me and guiding me, how can I be the first fruits? Yeah, such a high goal. It's not just that little piece of toy there, a part of the toy. That's so insignificant. But can you imagine, even in such insignificant point and thing that even God will take time to tell me it's there. You and I would say, forget about it. Just forget about it. Yeah, I'll buy a new toy if you cannot find it. I'll give you even the money to buy a new toy. Right? Isn't it easier? Sarah, wouldn't you do that? But even such a little thing God cares about. Because he wants us to experience him. He wants us to realize that God is a living God. He's a God who knows everything. And he's a speaking God. We think he's just going to speak about a message. No. Right, in sharing with the saints in the Far East, my wife asked me, what are you going to share with them tonight? What did I tell you? No, I told Mary, I'm not speaking. Right? I told Mary, I'm not speaking. What? Then who is going to speak? Or who else? Who else, Sarah? You? Oh, I'm going to ask Sarah to help me. You can share with the saints in the Far East. No, I really meant it. I'm not joking with my wife to say I'm not speaking. Because for me, it is the Lord speaking and not man speaking. Right. We need to experience this speaking God. Right. And we went to Hebrews chapter 2, right? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. The way to stay on track with God is to constantly hear his speaking. If you don't hear his speaking, you drift away slowly. Drift away doesn't mean you'll be washed away overnight. What does the word drift away mean, Vince?
Little by little.
What thing will drift away? A little piece of wood right on the shore, seashore. Sometimes it goes up and then the wave carries it back and then another wave carried further away, but then you may not think you're away. Then you'll come back. But then you're already a distance away, not back to the original position. And after a long period of time, you're somewhere in the ocean, not knowing where to go. Yeah. Drift away. That's the subtlety of the devil. Yeah. Have you ever seen a person drifting away? Oh yeah, quite a few. Not overnight, but over a couple of years. Little by little, so that you don't even notice it. So when you wake up, you're gone. And this is what the word says, lest we drift away. So even in a small matter, we like to hear him. This is what God told the disciples, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, in the Mount of Transfiguration, a very serious word. Peter has his own concept. Wow, wonderful. So let's make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus, as if they're all in the same level. God was angry, and the Father immediately stopped his speaking. Nonsense. God didn't wait. They got a shock of their life. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Of course, I cannot show that sound. Hear him. A very serious word. And Peter did not forget that, even in his old age. God speaking. If we don't hear God speaking, then we speak nonsense. Yeah. For if the word spoken through angels, even through angels, God used angels to speak in those days, even to Mary, right? Gabriel is very famous for carrying messages. Right. Proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just reward. So how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? God speaking is always a salvation to us. It's not just believing that he died for me is salvation. Every time he speaks to you, it is to save you and to bring us forward toward the goal, to lead and guide us. We need his constant speaking, even daily speaking, right? Sharon, don't you speak to John every day? No? Really, John?
Yes.
You testify to that?
Yes.
But we need to hear God speaking. Even, right, not only spoken by the Lord, confirmed to us by those who heard him, but God also bearing witness. Can you imagine that? God wants to be very sure that you know it was him speaking. With signs and wonders, miracles, and a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's according to his own will. Don't you like that? And why is that important? Because you and I, we are all very important for the fulfillment of God's plan. We have a high calling, a glorious calling, to rule with him as kings, to be crowned with honor and glory and not with shame at his coming, right? That's why he says, for he had not put the world to come, of which we speak in subjection to angels. You appreciate the angels. Chapter 1 says, they are our servants, serving us. Yeah. That's why we are saved today. Nothing much happened to us, right? Yeah. We have a lot of angels guarding us. In Zion, how many angels?
There he is.
Wow, what are they doing? They're serving those heirs of salvation. Myriads of angels, right?
Yes, that's right.
They just saved you, isn't it? Yeah. So are we worried? Don't worry, but be careful also. Don't be just, you know, oh, the angels are going to save me. I'll just do anything I like. That's not very good. So the world to come is coming in the millennial kingdom. And then after millennial kingdom, we have new heaven and new earth. God is not going to let the angels rule. No. We are. What is man that you are mindful of him? My. Right? Rebecca, you prefer to be a German shepherd? What is man? We have to appreciate being the best in the universe among God's creation. We have a high, wonderful destiny, a high calling. Don't neglect that. Nothing can replace that. Even the best job in Apple is just an apple. That's why it's called Apple. Right? You know Apple? Yeah. It's just an apple. It's nothing. Right. Don't appreciate Apple so much. Our high destiny. If you miss that destiny, any one of us here sitting, right, Yuchen? If you miss that high calling, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You will regret it deeply. But then what can you do? So, remember, God is mindful of us. Just like you caring so much for your children, right? And you care for Isaac? Really? You're a father now. Mindful of us, right? What a son of man that you care of him. God cares. How can he not speak to you? Don't you try to speak to Isaac too, even though he didn't understand any of the word you said? Right? Lynn also, right? Trying to talk to baby, right? How many months? You talk to a 1 month old baby. You think God will not talk to us, mindful of us. You care for your children, right? Even weep for them, not only if they're babies and children. You think God is not mindful about us? He doesn't care what happened to you? What is man? You've made him a little lower than the angels, but then you're going to crown him with honor and glory. Well, we do not see that yet today, because it takes maturity. An heir is not an heir, Paul wrote in Galatians, if he's just a young boy, a child. He is in no way different than a servant. So we need to mature. That's why you have chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews. We have to press on to maturity. Yeah. This is in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. You have set him over the works of your hands. My goodness, you're going to rule over God's creation. Can you imagine that? We have such a high calling of God, very high calling. Don't neglect that. Nothing is so important than that. Yeah, a lot of distraction today. And you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Really, all things. Even in your garden. That's why all the little animals, they flee when they see you. Right? Even the lizard, the gecko, even the little birds, even the big birds, even the crow, they fly away. Everything is in subjection. Even your dog at home, they listen to you, right?
Sometimes.
Because they learn from human beings. But really, all things are under our feet, subjection to us. All things means all, in subjection. So if my wife is taking care of the garden, I always reminded her, bless each tree, you bless them. Don't think they don't understand you. They understand you. Even in the Bible, clap your hands, all ye trees. So when you see the trees going by, they're clapping their hands. Right. But now we do not yet see all things put under man, under him. Because we need to grow to maturity. There's a lot of work to do in us. And the most wonderful thing that's necessary is to hear his speaking. Because if you don't talk to your children, how are they going to learn and grow, you tell me? You just leave them alone and do whatever they like and they'll grow and learn. But even if you teach them, it's hard for them to learn because of the fallen nature. It's not an easy task, even for us Christians. We know that, right? We all know that. Yeah. But we see Jesus. So in everything that happens, don't see the situation. What do you see if things happen? We see Jesus. Let's say that 3 times. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. We see Jesus. Don't see anything else if things happen. Don't see Iran. Don't see the Dems. Don't see the problems. We see Jesus crucified.
With glory and honor.
You only appreciate him crucified for you But you should learn to appreciate even more sitting on the throne crowned with honor and glory, not for himself, but for you and me and all of us here. He not only died for you, he is today crowned with glory and honor, sitting on the throne for you, Peter. Yeah, I appreciate it. He died for me, but is that all? He rose for you. He ascended for you. He sits on the throne today for you and me. And he's coming back for you and me. Is he coming back to rule by himself? David, you want to see the Lord come back? Why? You see? Tell me the truth. Why do you want to see him come back? Oh, because the world is in a big mess. Lord, come back quickly so that we can live in peace here. That's what you thought. No, so that we can rule and reign with him.
Amen.
But he cannot come back if you're not ready. Many brothers just know how to rule over the saints. It's terrible. Don't rule over the saints. Right. I think it's time. My time is up. So I just gave you a summary of chapter 1 and 2. But this is the word to the Hebrews. Praise the Lord.
Amen.